afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app, which allows you to listen and watch this show and the Brian Suits Show every single weekday. Activists here in Washington, they're using the media to try to shut down the Tacoma Ice Processing Center. And of course, the media is happy to help. That is what's trending.
What's trending at the border?
The Seattle Times reads like it's working with open border activists trying to close the ICE detention center in Tacoma. As you know, people who come through our very porous border, they end up, if they commit crimes, usually getting caught. Sometimes takes a while, and unfortunately, it sometimes takes a really egregious crime before they get caught. But they end up getting processed through this detention center. Sometimes they're being processed as they await legitimate asylum claims. Other times they're there until the whole process is complete and about getting in front of a judge and whatnot. These are not all people who are in the processing center part. They're not all criminals. So it's a mix. But open border activists and the politicians that enable them, they don't want to see any processing center. I mean, when you're open borders, you're open borders. It's really that simple. And so the Seattle Times has been covering some stories tied to the detention center. Now King 5, Woke 5 News is taking it on. And it kind of makes sense because these are two very far left media outlets. And what happened yesterday was there was this press conference by La Resistencia. I don't speak Spanish, but I'm going to guess that it's the resistance. And that kind of indicates, and correct me if I'm wrong, because maybe resistance is another word that has been redefined by the left, generally indicates you're pretty far to the left and you're going to resist any effort to, I don't know, let's say in this case, enforce border laws.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Okay, Jackson, I need positive reinforcement sometimes. I just need someone else to tell me I'm not crazy. La Resistencia. They want to shut down this detention center. So they find reasons to create outrage that would then create some pressure from the public and the media to go against the GEO Group, which is the private company that actually operates the ICE detention center. Washington Democrats have been trying to close this thing down. They haven't been able to. So the newest attempt has to do with a series of 911 calls that they got. It was actually procured by the University of Washington Center for Human Rights, which is an activist group that's done under the auspices of research. I mean, they don't even hide what their goal is here. And the 911 calls, which reported yesterday by the Seattle Times, this is the first place I saw it, it shows that over a period of less than 3 months this year, the center had at least 6 suicide attempts, possibly 7. They haven't been able to confirm that, according to the Seattle Times. Here's one of the calls.
Hi, caller. What's the emergency? Hi. I have a 28-year-old female who had an attempted suicide attempt. The providers want to send her out to the ER just to rule out any type of cervical spine injury.
Okay. Did she try to hang herself?
No, she wrapped up a trash bag and tried tying in a knot and tried to asphyxiate herself.
I don't know how that would have hurt her spine, but whatever it is, I mean, obviously, you don't want to see something like that. You don't want to hear something like that. It's tragic. It's sad. Keep in mind, this was an attempt. So thankfully, she did not end up being successful. But because of this and a few other attempts, 5 more attempts, they say over at La Resistencia that this proves that detainees are treated so poorly that we have to close it down.
We are telling everyone in the world, we're number one. This is the best country in the world. They arrive and this is what they face. They have given us a couple of meetings and that's been it. We want them to come. We want them to do something, but we also want them to end the contract already. We don't want more people dying.
You don't really care about whether or not they live or die, right? I mean, can we just call this part out? Because they don't want to deport illegal immigrants who kill American citizens. So, you know, let's stop pretending that this is about saving lives. This is about ensuring that there's an open border. Now, the person you just heard, I think her name is Maru Mara Villalpando, who, for me, most notable for an interview that I did maybe 8 years ago with her. in which she just flat out was all about open borders. And this was before this had become a really big issue, right? This was before Trump. This was actually, it probably might have been a little bit longer, because this was before Trump even announced he was running for president, I think. But she is an extremist. And up until, I think, last year, she was in this country illegally for some 25 years. She overstayed a vacation that she was taking, I believe, some 25 years ago, maybe now 26 years ago. And ever since then, it seems like she's been one of the leading activists in this region pushing for illegal immigrants. And because of her activism, she ended up getting the government to toss her deportation and just simply grant her lawful permanent residency. So it turns out that if you're in this country illegally and you become a progressive activist, despite actual court orders that I thought were all about deporting her, you know, you get another pass. Maybe at that point, well, you know, she got a pass for 26 years. We might as well just give her the rest. She's 50, 51 now. You know, it's mean to do that, which, by the way, I point that out because she was here as an adult. She came to this country and stayed here illegally as an adult, not as a child, not as like a 9-year-old who's a dreamer, which I have every bit of compassion for, and I don't think they should be deported. Where are you going to deport them to? But at the end of the day, this is someone who's benefiting every single, from an activist standpoint, every single time they can point to a story without even giving us context. What's the context of the 5 or 6 suicide attempts, other than the suicide attempt? What, is there any context? Like, here's a question I have. Were any of them dealing with mental illness going in? That kind of is important, right? Again, is it possible that all 6 had it? Maybe not, but maybe. I have no idea. What were the suicide attempts, you know, sparked by? Do we have any of those information? Do we have any documentation at all? It's hard to really get a sense because it's not like they're allowed to release any of the private medical records. And so you have to wait for, in some cases, it'll never happen, but you have to wait for either them giving permission to release the info or get a family member or close friend to release the info. Generally speaking, information like this doesn't get leaked. So we don't really have that. And it sounds like a horrible place when we judge it or frame it around 5 or 6 suicide attempts. But also, there's a guy who spoke with King 5 who spent about a month there, and he actually witnessed a suicide attempt, but also didn't attempt suicide himself, right? And again, I know that not everyone's going to attempt suicide even in horrible circumstances, but I didn't hear a whole lot of reasons why this place is so much worse than any other place that is a detention or processing center.
I saw the one boy, he tried to take to suicide, and after this, he fell down the second floor, mm-hmm. and he broke down the legs. After this, he went to the hospital.
So what are we to do with all of this? I mean, for me, nothing. I don't do anything with it. I'd like to get more information. I'm definitely not going to trust a group that is so partisan, a group that has misled in the past. I'm not going to give it the Seattle Times or King 5 treatment. Now, do I have a bias in all of this? Yeah, I do have a bias in all of this. I'm not an open borders Democrat. And I'm going to be naturally suspicious of groups like this. And that's a blind spot, potentially, but I'm aware of my own bias, so I'll look into this and see if there's anything there. If there actually is something there, okay, I'll point it out. Not to close the processing center, but just to address whatever the issue is so that we can keep it open. Sorry, I'm not going to be moved by these cases enough to close down a processing center and just allow illegal immigrants to roam free who should not be roaming free as determined by either the federal government or a judge. That doesn't seem very safe to me. But maybe my bar is too high, like not wanting people to get injured or victimized by people in this country illegally. People always say that about me. Jason, you care too much.
That's crazy talk, man.
I know. They say you smile too much, you're happy too much, and you care too much. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt if you dropped an F-bomb every once in a while. That's what they say to me all the time. It's true.
Really?
Yeah. push the button.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
This is actually kind of interesting, I suppose. I still maintain my complete ignorance of the Costco food culture. I do not get it. It's a hot dog. It's a hot dog that's $1.95 or whatever it is. Okay. I mean, it doesn't bode well for Bidenomics results, right? I mean, you got people who are so hungry and so poor that they go to Costco and they sneak into the Costco without a membership card just to get their hot dog. And as we told you a couple weeks ago, we started to see these signs that were popping up at Costco saying, yeah, just FYI, soon we're going to be asking you to show your gold membership or whatever the membership is. And if you don't have one, sorry, we're not going to take your money and give you the hot dog. And it turns out that's precisely what it is they're doing now. You had Como TV going down to the Costco in Issaquah, and they were all like, hey, you look like someone who's going to eat a hot dog later. Talk to me. What do you think of the policy?
Two kids. Costco is a regular thing, probably twice a week for me.
You're going twice a week to Costco just for the food? For the cafeteria? Really?
Give those kids some actual nutrition.
Two times a week? What are you doing? And when are you doing this? Because it's with your kids, so I'm assuming at least one of the days is a weekend day. This is what you're doing on the weekend with your kids? This brings them joy? Take them to a movie. You can get a hot dog there. I get it's more expensive, but my God.
Plus, have you ever been to the Issaquah Costco on the weekends? It's insane. It's a madhouse.
I bet.
And my wife. My daughter is a pepperoni pizza loyalist. My son, definitely the hot dog.
It's much.
Okay. Again, you know you can get pizza pretty much anywhere. Again, granted, pizza is very expensive right now because of inflation. And I'm assuming you at least live close to Issaquah, otherwise you'd go to one of the many other ones. So I'm assuming you're not dirt poor. I mean, maybe that's a wrong assumption to make. Maybe I shouldn't. You know what they say about making assumptions.
Definitely the hot dog.
As much as it's not good for me, but yeah, I don't like it.
They're trying to do you a favor. So if you don't like it, that means one of two things. You don't have a membership card, or you're too lazy to reach into your pocket and not just take out $1.95, and this guy sounds like he pays with coins, but then also reach in and pull out the Costco membership card. How about this, sir? Put it where you have your ID, because it is transparent, and you can just hold it up. You're already taking out the wallet, I'm assuming. Again, he's not using Apple Pay. He's paying a dollar and then 95 cents. So which is it?
You're so mean to the elderly, Jason.
What did I say?
I know. That's why I said it.
If you give me elderly or kids.
I used to like to walk in and no hassle. I can't buy anything if I don't have my card.
You know, you're too old to be a freeloader, dude. Okay? Let's be clear. They're not making a ton of money off of those hot dogs. Sure, they buy them in bulk, but they're not making that much money. The money they make is off of the membership cards. That's how they operate. And thus, if you truly are addicted to the hot dogs or the pizza or that weird bake thing that I don't even know what it's called, a ham bake, it's just a hot pocket, if that, then get your membership. And perhaps, maybe at some point, you'll get a membership option that's just for the cafeteria that Costco offers. That might be a good idea. Put that in the book of good ideas before they steal it so I can sue them, or at least offer a $10,000 consulting fee. You just say, hey, for $10 a month, or 20, well, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, you can go to our cafeteria, but you can't shop here. And if you want to shop here, okay, you either pay maybe a one-time fee per entry or not. But I mean, if you've got the card, you probably would like this because the lines are going to be smaller, right? Or shorter.
The interesting thing with the older gentleman was that he said, if I don't have my card, so it sounds like he has a card. So why is he complaining?
Oh my! Well, was he stealing a card?
Yeah,
and that's what he's saying. I mean, people sometimes, so like we say, we, I'm not talking about we or us. I'm talking about myself. Like the show is doing this. No, I mean, I'm doing it. You know what I mean?
Different, but it's fine. I didn't think twice about it. It's the first time I saw it.
Well, that's the best kind of person to include in a man on the street clip. Someone who is non-committal either way. Yeah, I guess it's fine. I don't know. If I'm being honest, I haven't even heard of this until I got here today. Is that good? Oh, you're going to include that in the piece? Okay. I mean, there's other people here you can talk to.
Price has been the same since 1984 when they opened, so it's good.
But it's not all about do something for the community too, beyond just the profit and the bottom line, I think.
Did they just include that from like an other clip of another story that had nothing to do whatsoever with Costco?
No, that's from the same story.
So, oh, what are you talking about? Sir, you're getting a $1.90 hot dog. They're doing something for the community. You know what else they're doing for the community? Hiring a bunch of people. Or does that not count? What else did they? Why don't you give us a list of what you want Costco to start doing? My God. I don't even know if Costco does anything for the community. They probably do a lot for the community. I don't know. Nor do I really care. Guy's upset. You can get, tell me where else you can go and get a 5-gallon jar of mayonnaise, okay?
But he can't anymore because he has to get the membership.
It's still magical. This is a magical experience. You should just pony up for however, I don't even know how much a Costco card costs, $79 or something. Oh my God. Pays for itself in the money you save by buying all those hot dogs, right? 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
The People's Harm Reduction Alliance has been permanently closed in Seattle. This is one of the big reasons, in my view, the whole idea around harm reduction is why the homelessness crisis is as bad as it is. Earlier this morning, as you saw on our Twitter feed, we told you about the latest developments in just a lot of drama with the People's Harm Reduction Alliance. Joining me on the line is the person who broke this story, Andrea Suarez from We Heart Seattle. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
So what started to happen this morning?
Well, the eyesore, I think it's on the corner of 83rd and Aurora North, has been demolished. It once was the offices and distribution center for the People's Harm Reduction Alliance, where enablement paraphernalia was given out to addicts, and also attracted all kinds of bad behavior, camping, garbage, you name it, ecosystem. So major rigs out there today demolishing the building. I mean, I think it's just a milestone moment and the neighborhood is relieved.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, what people don't realize when we talk about harm reduction, just because of the title of it, harm reduction, not only are we not reducing harm, but we are attracting all sorts of addicts to areas in which we're giving out needles and fentanyl pipes and booty bumping kits and all the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the original sounded great at face value. Harm reduction has evolved into a variety of different, I mean, really, it's now a social justice cause for like removing harm. It's just, it's been, the term has been misunderstood and now abused and doesn't at all reflect its intended purposes. But now we actually are seeing community harm reduction for all by these types of buildings being destroyed, demolished, and turned into a more positive block, as well as the demolition of the Hillside Hotel just a mile south of this, which was a major drug hub.
Yeah, again, that was one of those things I don't think people realize unless you kind of live or work near the area. You get a pretty clear sense of what's going on there, but for some reason it's been allowed to go on.
Yep, it's been allowed to go on, and the neighbors galvanized during the pandemic, and you know, the green spaces were cleaned by We Heart Seattle volunteers. The hotel finally was shut down, and it too has been demolished in the last week or so. So with that demolition and this within a mile of each other on the 99, it's just a really great outcome. And the neighbors are, you know, hope is restored. And once hope is restored, of course, everything is better in the community.
And we've been starting to see a little bit of the positive results, not just with some of the work that you've been doing on homelessness, but just, you know, for 99, Highway 99, you see all of the prostitutes, not quite as visible lately, it would seem, at least according to the people who work and live there.
Well, and this is, thank you, voters. You voted in Ann Davidson. Yep. You voted in, you know, we are bringing leaders back into our city council and at the city attorney's offices that are taking action and enforcing the law.
The one
shutting
thing,
down hotels.
Exactly. And actually prosecuting, you know, the people who need to be prosecuted. And sure, not everyone needs to be prosecuted. You can put people into treatment when you need to, or restorative justice if it makes sense. But just having that as the default position for everything never actually works. We're talking, by the way, with Andrea Suarez of We Heart Seattle. The decision to pull down this location for the People's Harm Reduction Alliance, I don't know. Do you know what's going up in its place? I know the location was permanently closed at the end of last year. It's sort of just been hanging out there for the last several months.
I don't know what the plan is, but it was going to be an empty lot, and that's better than this eyesore that it has been. And, you know, I think these guys just put themselves out of business. You know, we're not using needles anymore. How can they have a straight face and hand out foil and bubbles? There is nothing about the transfer of disease to do that. So, you know, because of fentanyl, and, you know, this is an evolution. This is a milestone moment to see, you know, that this type of enablement and this type of harm reduction has expired due to fentanyl.
Now, to be clear, they're still operating. They've got a university district location. They've got a mobile van that the county allows to just drive around handing out drug paraphernalia under the guise that this is actually reducing harm. It's actually not. They offer some supplies that do help people who are living out on the streets, no doubt. They give out socks, for example, and food. That's obviously a positive. But this idea that you're going to hand out safer use kits is what they're called, to smoke, snort, or boof. I don't even know what boofing is, but apparently that's a thing that's being done right now, and they're enabling.
And I would just ask, just also include the 24/7 Suboxone line. They don't even include the 24/7 Suboxone line, which we can add that to your tweet. It's everybody can use it. Everybody can access it. Everybody's an outreach worker. If you see somebody that's ready to get off of opioids, there's a 24/7 prescription line for Suboxone, and that blocks the drug. So just include that, People's Harm Reduction Alliance. Just include a number that says, here's a way to keep you safe in the moment, but here is true harm reduction, which is to quit lethal fentanyl.
Yeah. Well, God forbid you might judge someone's addiction, because then it's stigmatizing, and then we're told that that's bad and it stops them from getting help. So instead of stigmatizing, here's some details. Here's some drug paraphernalia to continue your actual drug addiction. So we're going to enable instead of stigmatize, right?
Well, and then the hypocrisy of these are the same people that said you can't smoke within 20 feet of my building or in bars. Click it or ticket it. Don't, you know, friends don't let friends drink and drive. Don't, you know, be an abuser. All of this is stigmatized except for a loaded weapon, which is a fentanyl pill. We need to start changing what we are calling this. This is a loaded weapon.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Go to WeHeartSeattle.org for ways that you can give back to not just We Heart Seattle as far as donations, which they obviously need, but you can also volunteer your time and help some of these cleanups. I know you've got a big cleanup coming up soon, don't you?
Yes, actually, timely, we are joining Together Washington. It starts at 9:30 right here on 99 at Pilgrim Coffee House on the 99. And there's going to be about 100 volunteers that turn out to pick litter on the 99, 9:30 at Pilgrim Coffee Saturday. Be there.
9:30 Saturday. Pilgrim Coffee, by the way, is an outstanding shop, friend of the show. We're big fans of theirs. So good location to just hang out at first, get some coffee, then go clean up the neighborhood. Andrew Suarez, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into the big local. Just don't forget, if you owe money to the IRS, know that they're getting very aggressive. You got to be proactive. You have to reach out to our friend Greg Nunn of Nunn Better Tax Resolution. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution.
Iran has promised to attack Israel any day now, but who's doing more damage to Israel? The Iranians or Joe Biden? The answer tomorrow at 6 a.m. on The Brian Suit Show.
Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in Port Orchard with some very great police work. Police work done by an off-duty Kitsap County Sheriff's deputy. He was technically off-duty. He still had his gear. But he was off-duty when he got this Amber Alert that many of us got, if not most of us got, this past week about a mom who allegedly abducted her 4-year-old son. He was sleeping. She apparently went into the house and she took him. According to Como TV, she had told people that she wanted to harm herself and harm the boy. And obviously we already have some really traumatic memories of the last time something like this allegedly occurred. And it didn't end as well as this story because of Deputy Josh Buonavino. He knew this woman. He recognized her. And he knew, because of what he was doing for work, paying attention, community policing, he knew where she usually hung out. And so what did he do? He went to where she normally hangs out. And she was there in her car. And you can see it on the body camera. I'm not going to play too much of the audio just because it's very noisy and hard to hear. But he finds her, tries to get her out of the car. She refuses to. At one point, it looked like she was trying to turn on the car to drive off. But in the end, he was able to actually get her out of the car and then take custody of the child. He spoke with Como TV.
I just had a hunch. That's it. That's the only thing I can explain. And I was at home enjoying my coffee in the morning when the Amber Alert went out, and I looked at my phone and I saw that it was her. I just so happened to be coming around the corner and there was her vehicle. Hey, Shannon. I started on the handle. It was locked. I put my hand in and I told her, I need you to step out of the vehicle. She said, okay, and starts up the vehicle and begins to drive off.
Stop.
Now, you know, he calls it a hunch. I don't know if it's a hunch. I mean, he recognized her and knew where she normally hung out, and that's where he went. And I don't say it's not a hunch to, you know, dismiss him. It, quite the opposite. It's because when you say I had a hunch, it generally doesn't mean it's necessarily based on just smart policing and being alert and aware of certain things. And he just happened to be alert and aware. He put two and two together. He made a reasonable choice that, hey, if I go down here, she might be there. If not, you know, so what? I drove an extra 2 minutes out of my way, but I did it in service of this kid. So kudos to him. It almost sounds like he's dismissing his own work by just calling it a hunch. No, this was just good police work, and kudos to him for actually doing that. He said, nevertheless, if you've got like a gut feeling, you should just go with it because maybe it'll save a life. It probably won't, if we're being honest. I mean, gut feelings almost never have anything to do with saving lives. But I suppose in a circumstance like this, you shouldn't even go down and do it yourself. I would call, unless you're a cop, I would just call 911 and report your hunch.
I saw the child and it reminded me of my nephews, nieces and nephews. Follow your gut, because sometimes that gut instinct might not only just save your life, but it may save someone else's. And in this case, I truly believe it saved Teddy.
You know, it has to do with prebiotics and whatnot. Is it pre or probiotics that we use for gut health? It's pro, right?
It's probiotics.
What are the prebiotics? The ones you have to take before your probiotics are happy? And why not eat them at the same time? What's got yogurt? What's yogurt got?
Pro.
Okay, what's the pre?
I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
You're not a doctor. You know what probiotics are. Google it. Because now I'm actually weirdly curious. And I'm going to give you a little bit of time. Because I'll tell you that in this case, Shannon Isabel, she's the mom. She's facing charges of kidnapping, burglary, resisting arrest, and violation of an anti-harassment order. And, you know, again, here's some news that's not going to shock anybody. According to the Washington State Patrol, she was just released from prison and she's been homeless. And she was homeless when she abducted this child. So there's obviously, assuming these allegations are true, sounds like there's something really, really wrong with her. And maybe this is the kind of person who doesn't need to go back into jail, but onto a hospital bed somewhere, get her the help she needs, and then you put her in jail. Okay, pre versus pro.
So they're kind of in the same vein. It says,
well, obviously, it's a biotic.
This is from the Mayo Clinic. It says probiotics are foods or supplements that contain live microorganisms intended to maintain or improve the good bacteria in the body. Prebiotics are foods, typically high fiber foods, that act as food for human microflora. So it's like,
okay, but here I have a question now. What's microflora?
I believe that's like the good. That's like the stuff in your gut.
The good stuff.
So it's kind of like food for the stuff in your gut. You know.
An antibiotic kills the pro
and
the pre.
That just kills bacteria.
Yeah. I see. Full circle. I figured it all out. So we like it.
The pro and pre, sure. Yeah. Well, I guess anti, it's certain.
Well, yeah, it depends. Yeah. You know, lean into antibiotic because then you're going to get
like a super virus. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how it turned into that. The Thurston County Sheriff, Derek Sanders, I've talked a lot about him. He's been on the show many, many, many times. I am a very big fan. However, I think he made a mistake in how he is handling the hiring, and then it wasn't a termination, it was a resignation, I guess, of Christopher Burbank. Christopher Burbank is one of the cop, was one of the cops from Tacoma PD who was charged in the death of Manny Ellis. He went to trial. He was acquitted because, turns out, he didn't do what the politically motivated prosecutors said he did. And now he's not supposed to ever work again, at least not in policing, because he gets this job with the Thurston County Sheriff. I was talking to a cop friend of mine today who said, oh, Derek Sanders brought this on himself. He didn't have to post the photo shaking his hand. He does that for every single hire. Every single hire he posted online. And I told my friend, fair enough. However, the second that anyone found out that Christopher Burbank was hired, he would then get hit for not doing precisely what it is he always does, which is post the photo. Now, he got a lot of pushback from activists. And dare I say, a lot of those activists probably not from Thurston County. They're probably from Pierce County. They're certainly from King County. I am willing to bet that Thurston County, I know Thurston County is a little cray-cray on the Olympia side of things, but I don't know if they're King and Pierce County cray-cray yet. Because I think you have way more cray-cray in Pierce and King, and you have a pocket of cray-cray in mostly Olympia, right? Well, I guess
it's generally a fair assessment.
Yeah. So, you know, people are going to be upset that you hired any cops. So why are you listening to them? But the way he responded to all of this, to me, was just a mistake. Because he put out this letter that, God bless him, I haven't said this to him yet. As much as I said good luck to him today. I said on the show, there's no way in the world he wrote that letter. It reads like it was written by a corporate DE&I guy. Like, I'm sorry for the pain and trauma I have caused in the community, and it's going to take some time for me to rebuild trust. Those kinds of words. No, it's not. The people who are mad were mad before this. They're not going to like you after this. And what am I saying? 20 minutes from now, he's going to have a town hall, and it'll last 2 hours. I'm sure someone will be recording every moment of it. And he's there to talk through some of the quote unquote community pain. In other words, people are going to show up and just yell at him. That's my guess. And again, the people who show up to yell at him probably don't even live in Thurston County. So I don't know why he's doing this sort of public. This actually is the shame. It's the Game of Thrones, right? That I think this is the perfect way to do it. He's going to walk in and he's just going to hang his head low and people will throw tomatoes and say, shame. I don't even remember what the queen or whatever she was did.
Is that Game of Thrones or I didn't really watch it.
Yeah, so. It was Game of Thrones. She hooked up with her brother.
Well, yeah,
the
I know.
Whole love story.
I heard about that part, but.
Well, it's the same character. She didn't do a spinoff. She dies at the end.
Oh, is it a Cersei? Is that who you're thinking of?
I just said I don't know her name. It's the blonde one. She cut her hair.
Yeah, that's. I didn't even watch it. I know her name.
Yeah, well, I don't know names. God, Ted, you're the worst. So, kudos to him, I guess, for trying to placate people in the community. It's not going to work, unfortunately. I hope people show up to support him. Because it would be pretty awful just to get yelled at the entire time about being a racist. Because now we're going to pretend that he's a racist because he hired Christopher Burbank because Burbank was involved in the death of Manny Ellis, even though he didn't do anything to kill Manny Ellis. And we all know why he actually died that night. This is kind of cool. You see this next story? I think it's kind of a big deal. It's quite the accomplishment. The Bethel School District, they're finally going to have sidewalks for kids. Yay! Except, to be a little bit more precise, they're going to finally implement a plan to get the sidewalks. Boo, I know. They only have 9% of the district with sidewalks, and we're supposed to just write it off because it's unincorporated Pierce County, and you don't have asphalt in unincorporated areas. Explain Puyallup and how there are still places without sidewalks there. That's not unincorporated Pierce County. I love this idea. Oh, no, it's unincorporated. Yeah. You have schools. You can't have any sidewalks so they can walk on safely to get to school?
It's not as rich in resources, I guess.
You know, it's been unincorporated for a long time. Y'all can't save some money? Now, here's my favorite part about this King 5 story on this topic. They spoke with State Representative Mary Levitt. She represents a portion of this particular district. And she's essentially saying, yeah, I screwed up. I'm a failure because I haven't been able to get you any money so that you can have a basic necessity like a sidewalk.
I think this area has been neglected for a very long time.
You're the person who represents the district. So what have you been doing? Seriously, what have you been doing, Mary Levitt?
You're saying who's responsible for this?
What? Huh? We're just going to completely ignore that part? And King 5 doesn't even mention, you know, she's represented this part or part of the community for X amount of years. And she's fought valiantly for funding for this, but she doesn't have any pull within her caucus. She didn't have any, you know, photos that she could have used for leverage for someone to say, hey, if you don't give me some of the money, these photos are going to get to Jason Rantz and he's going to publish them. None of that, just nothing. They don't even mention it. They just say, oh, state rep. They don't even say she represents part of the district. They just say State Representative Mary Levitt weighs in.
We know that it's dark. The terrain is uneven. There's potholes everywhere. It's really hard to see. And cars are just flying by.
Potholes work. You know, we got it. So she said she was finally able to get some extra funding from the transportation budget.
Sidewalks are expensive to do, and I'm glad that we were able to secure those dollars this year to finally, you know, come up to speed of where we should have been.
Yeah,
I think that where the county should have been years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you should have maybe stepped up a little bit more. Just saying. I like how she's trying to place the blame everywhere else. It's the county's fault. The unincorporated county's fault. What do we have you in office for? This is what you're supposed to do is I'm not saying counties don't have some say here. They do. But at the end of the day, how about you go ahead and lobby a little bit harder and talk a little bit louder so that people realize what the issue is? Other than that, she's a wonderful representative for the district. She does so much and she should be congratulated. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. When we come back, you pick the story. Story number one, the Belltown Hellcat social media influencer. He just got barred from doing the one thing he loves. We can mock that or mock an angry Gen Z American. He's a TikToker. He's very upset about not being able to afford to live his life. And he wants to know why he can't afford. I'll tell him why he can't afford things if you want me to. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget our weekly video update brought to you by your local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn of Nunn Better Tax Resolution.
You pick the topic on the Jason Rantz Show.
Indeed you do, and you love me. Thank you, guys. You're going to let me mock a Gen Zer who's angry about not being able to afford to live. Now, in fairness, he actually is speaking to a concern that likely explains why there are so many younger voters who are just abandoning Joe Biden right now. And frankly, if there were a Republican in office right now and we had this kind of inflation problem or just cost of living issue in a general sense, they would be mad with the Republican too. So I think he's right to a point to be a little bit concerned or upset, but he's a little crazy.
Can somebody explain to me in crayon eating terms why I make over 3 times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live?
Okay, this is what you're doing wrong. You are spending more money than you are bringing in. So it's kind of like, do you know calories in, calories out? Same thing, money in, money out. So you have to do better at your budget. Perhaps you stop eating so many crayons because they are very expensive. And that's going to hurt your budget unless you have budgeted for it. Was that pretty simple?
I think those were crayon eating terms, yes.
Now, caveat, I don't know where he lives. He says 3 times the federal minimum wage. I don't know if that means he's in a state that has 3 times the, because then he might be here in Washington, or he just makes, what would that be? He says a little more than $7.25. So let's just go with $22 an hour. So he makes $22 an hour. That's about $45,000, $44,000 a year. Yeah, that's not a lot of money, depending on where you live. Now, if you live in some places, that are, you know, generally seen as much cheaper, like most of the Midwest, in comparison to what we experience here in Western Washington, that's not a little bit of money. It's not a huge salary, but he's a 20-something. He looks like he's 14, but he's got a mustache, so now I'm assuming he's 24 or something. Let's listen to him continue.
And I do not want to hear the pull yourself up from your bootstraps, work 90 hours a week. That's not the goal, guys!
I hear it's not the goal, but if you weren't such a dum-dum, you would decide to do that because those other people like you complaining nonstop, they're not. And we will all recognize the person who's going just a little bit further in working. And I know you don't like to hear this, but that is how it has always worked to a degree, at least as it relates to getting more responsibilities and then going up the ladder and then having that salary that you so dearly crave, while also, by the way, for many people means you're taking on in the end of the at the end of the day, actually less hours because you're managers and managers are all phony. They're on Instagram all day. Well, most of the day. That's all you have to do. Get to or become a consultant because then you can just charge and really not do anything.
That should not be our standard. I am so tired of people being complacent with this uniparty.
Just real quickly, Mr. Hates complacency, but won't work more than a few hours a week. Okay.
Both of them f***ing us over. When my parents were my age, they both made less than half of what I make, and they lived alone.
And they walked to school 30 miles each way uphill in the snow every day.
I cannot afford to live anywhere alone. A one-bedroom apartment, $1,800. Two-bedroom apartment, $2,200.
He definitely doesn't live in Washington. Oh, my God. My one-bedroom apartment is more than what he probably would say is expensive for a three-bedroom apartment. So, you know, count your glass half full, my friend. Glass half full. $1,800? Jump on that.
That's a bargain.
Oh my God, $1,800 for a one bedroom? Jump on it. And you know, the other thing is, I can't afford to live alone. Yeah, okay, don't live alone. I know why you might want to live alone. I certainly understand that. But when you're just out of college, you're young like this, you're not making a ton of money. Yeah, you take on a roommate. That's how life works sometimes. Not for everyone, but for a lot of people it does.
Who the f- can afford that?
I can afford that. He's asking a question. He wanted me to be honest.
It is embarrassing to come out and say that it is a struggle to survive right now.
And by the way, that part is true. He's doing it in a way that automatically brings a whole bunch of attention to himself. And I'm sure he's actually making some money now off of the TikTok because his account has gone viral. But yeah, it is tough to say something. And I'm frankly, I think it's important to say things like this because number one, sometimes their complaints aren't wrong. Other times you can actually help. I had a friend, I've told you this story before. I've got a friend or had a friend at the time who was struggling and always complaining about, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to spend. I don't know how I'm going to pay for my rent. It's just too high. And this was before the conversation switched to housing affordability as a theme. And I was like, well, you have a Netflix account you never use. You go out to dinner or a bar every single night, you might be able to cut back on just a little bit of that. I'm not saying you don't have to have a life, but if you're at the point where you are quite literally crying about not being able to afford rent, yeah, well, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. It might not be fair. It might be completely unfair. It might be the worst thing in the world. But you have a choice to either do what's unfair but smart or risk losing your apartment.
But I know so many people are struggling. And do not get me started on what my grandparents were doing.
I don't even want to know where he's going on that one. The way he phrased it made it sound like it wasn't about money. His concerns are shared by lots of younger voters. When we're told the economy is doing well, it's killing it, it's never been better, praise the Biden administration and Bidenomics, this guy is more representative of the truth than the White House.